Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the 34th chapter of Genesis. Please that you open your Bibles to chapter 34 of the book of Genesis. We're going to begin with verse 1. We've kind of went down through the third verse last time we were together, but we're going to go ahead and reread. We're going to begin at verse 1. Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and begin for the the study today. Genesis chapter 34, we do have a lot of reading, so please follow along with me as we study God's Word today. Genesis 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because they had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make her marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry or gift, and I will give accounting as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, Because he hath defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you. And we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein, for the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, for to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours, only let us consent with them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came into the city boldly, and slew all the males. They slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and the spoiled city, because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep, and their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives, took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. Jacob said unto Simon and to Levi, Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, Should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Now, let's begin with prayer. If we read the chapter, Father, thank you that we can come together. I ask for your wisdom and your strength, your direction, Lord. I praise you for this opportunity to do this program. It is such a joy, Lord, to be able to teach your word, and whether it be from the pulpit or from one of the Bible studies that we have on Sunday night and Wednesday night, the Sunday school class Sunday morning, the preaching the message, and or the doing of this radio program. It is such a joy, Lord, to open your word and to spend time in it. And I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to share this word through the radio, that folks will hear and know of you, come by faith to you, and then begin to walk with you. Please, Lord, just open our eyes today and our hearts that we may follow and listen very carefully. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, In past times, we've got quite a situation going on here with Dinah. Dinah, as they have let me kind of bring you up to speed just a little bit, because you might have, you know, time has passed here a little bit, and if you're like me, by the time I am in the different areas of the Scripture throughout the week, I can be in four other different studies, this being five each week, and so you have to enjoy the reading. I need to back up and read it again, the chapter before, in order for me to understand where I am and what's going on because of the different things. It's such a joy to study God's Word. So we're going to back up just a little bit. We're not going to read it, but I will kind of do a survey over it so you can remember what's happening. Jacob is heading home. He leaves Laban. Jacob finds his way home with all of his family, runs into Esau. They have the situation with Esau, and then after Esau he's found him to be a friend, then he continues on and he finds himself a place, and we find that in the very last verses here where Jacob comes to, and there he finds, of course, the people of the land. You see, later on, when the nation of Israel returns. Right now, this is just a family, and it's God's chosen people, but it's just the beginning, the very, very, very beginning of the nation of Israel. They will return later, and they are commanded at that time to clean the land, people and all, in order for them to possess it and to begin to worship the true God. But until that comes, and until that takes place, it's just a family. And it's a family of very few, and we find here in not too long that Jacob is going to go into Egypt, and when he takes his family into Egypt, I believe, if my memory serves me right, I think there's 70 souls goes down. So This, you know, I get together with my family. I remember a time not too many years ago, several years ago, that we were together at my great-grandmother's, and I think there was 62 or 63 of us there, and not everybody made it. The house was full, I'll say that. We had so much fun, and I remember that very, very clearly, and that is, like I said, probably more years than I want to count, 40 years ago, close to it. So when I think of Jacob's family being 70 here in just a little bit, and it's not that large at this time, so he is just a small family. And so here we have Jacob, and we have his family, and he has moved into this area, a land promised to him, but to this point yet has not really taken possession of it. It is his, yes, but the possession is not become real to him. And so they land at this place. Dinah decides, this is verse 1, she decides to go visit the neighbors, so to speak. You know, all she's got's brothers. There may be other sisters, we're not sure, but this is the only one to our knowledge that is listed and talked about here. And so as we have this Dinah, she decides that she, you know, being 15, 16 years old, why she wants to go out for the evening, and that's kind of standard procedure for that age today, I suppose. And it's not good today a lot of times, and it's not good here. She finds herself among, you know, they said she wanted to go see the daughters of the land. But I wonder how much she wanted to go see the daughters if she's 15, 16 years old, or she wanted to go see the men of the land. Either way, she found herself in a place that she shouldn't have been. She shouldn't have been alone to begin with. She shouldn't have got herself into this kind of a situation, but she did. And we find that Shechem, saw her. Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, and that's people of the land, prince of the country, it said, saw her, took her, laid with her, and defiled her. And so we're not sure how much resistance that Dinah gave here. The age, why today with the laws and things, why would without question would be rape, but we're not sure that Dinah didn't consent to this. We're not sure. It doesn't really say. We have very little of the information from Dinah. As far as how she felt about this, did she bring it on? We're not sure. But we do know that Shechem here, according to the world, physical love, he loved her. And we have that here in the third verse. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the damsel and spake kindly unto her. Now, until you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, there is no real love. The only thing, the only love that is present is a physical love, a desire. You know, it's hard for us to imagine because we think that there is good in everybody, at least a little bit, you know. But not necessarily, so, definitely not. There is no good in us. If we do something for someone, it is because we desire to get something back. And we may be patient, and we may be kind, and we may look like that we don't want anything in return, but down deep in our heart we do, because without Jesus Christ being there, without being born again, there is no good in you, there is no desire to do good. And so you may, you know, completely say, oh, that's not true at all. Well, it is true because the Word of God tells us that. I'm not saying that. The Word of God tells us that we are as filthy rags. There is no good in us at all until we come by faith to Jesus Christ. And even then, we still have the old flesh, but we do have a new heart, and we begin to grow and begin to change. Now, here we are looking at Shechem, and Shechem doesn't have that. Now, he looked upon Dinah. I'm sure she was a very beautiful woman, and he desired to have her and to care for her, not to abuse her. And again, we're not sure how much Dinah here really agreed with this. It doesn't appear to this point. We may find as we continue to study that it's different, but right now it looks like that she didn't really have a big problem with what he had done to her. Now, there is a big problem here because this family is supposed to be isolated, separated from the world. Well, Shechem's of the world. Let's see what happens now. Shechem spake unto his father. This is verse 4. Genesis 34, 4. Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they come. And so we kind of had, we have here the caring for the stock, the livestock, and the boys are all out taking care of the work, and Jacob gets word of what has happened. Now again, was Dinah in consent with this? We're not sure, but we know what happened, and what happened was wrong. What Shechem did was wrong. And now we're going to have to answer the situation here. Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were in the field caring for his cattle. Jacob held his peace. Jacob probably should have went to Hamor or to Shechem and at least confronted this situation and dealt with it properly as best you could at this point in time. Instead of that, he waited till the boys came back. Hamor, the father, in verse 6, of Shechem, went out to meet Jacob and to commune with him. And so Jacob didn't say anything, but here came Hamor. Remember, Shechem went to Hamor and says, Dad, I want her. I love her. And so Hamor, being the prince of the land, goes unto Jacob, and that's kind of the custom that would be done, goes to talk to Jacob. Hamor does. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field, verse 7, about that time, and they heard it, and the men were grieved, which they should have been. I mean, their sister has been defiled. She is no longer pure. You know, today we have beautiful weddings, and when a woman puts on, a bride puts on this white wedding dress, it stands for purity. And it stands that woman should be a virgin. Now, in today's world, in today's standard, how many weddings would you attend that they would be able to wear a white wedding dress? If that's the way, and that is the way it should be, but is that the way it is? And today I see even someone that is divorced and remarries. They again have another great big wedding and put on a white wedding dress. Why? They have already been married. There is no question they're no longer a virgin. Why the white? But you see, today all that has changed. We have become hardened and cold to the customs of today, and no longer does that bother us at all. We're not sure the situation here with Dinah and with Jacob and with Shechem and with Hamor, but we do know when the boys came back that they were upset that somebody had done that to their daughter, to their sister. Now again, was she a part of it? We don't know. It didn't matter in the boys' eyes. They hated what had been done to their sister, and they should have. And they were very wroth, the scripture says, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Verse 7. Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to him. Hamor is being very kind. Hamor comes to Jacob and asks for the hand of his daughter, of Jacob's daughter, Dinah. And make ye marriages with us, give your daughters unto us, and take your daughters unto you. You live here, we live here. Can my son have your daughter? And if so, why then, you know, why not our daughters and sons have our daughters and sons, and we'll just live happily ever after? And ye shall dwell with us, the land shall be before you, dwell and trade ye therein, and give you possessions therein. Here, there's plenty of room, and that's what he tells his people later on in the chapter. Here, there's plenty of room. And why not let them come in and be a part of us? Now, number one, Shechem wants Dinah. And the other thing is that word gets out very quickly of how God blesses Jacob. And I think these people wanted to be a part of that. So they were willing to give what they had to multiply what they have, to get more. And so that's what they were after, and that's what they were looking for. And so we have that kind of a picture right here. And again, in verse 11 now, "And Shechem said unto her father, and her father and her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give." Now, you think about that. Now, what Shechem did was wrong. It was very wrong. But what he is coming back now, and he is approaching Hamor, and Shechem's behind that, and they're speaking to Jacob. And they're saying to Jacob, now, whatever you ask, whatever you call for, ask me never so much a dowry or gift, and I will give it according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. Now, I'm not going to take her and abuse her. I want her to be my wife. Now, it seems that Shechem here is coming forward. He has, what he has done is wrong. What Dinah has allowed to have done, and again, we're not sure where she stands with this, but because they're supposed to be separated, they aren't to be together. Well, Shechem doesn't understand that, neither does Hamor. Now, Jacob should. Jacob should know that there's a problem with this arrangement. But with Shechem and Hamor, they're really being very kind, and as far as the world's concerned, they are trying to do what's right, and whatever you ask, I will give. Well, we find here in verse 13, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. You see, remember, Jacob didn't say anything until the brothers, the sons of Jacob, were back from the field. So they're there, they're listening to it, and now they get in the conversation. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. They said to them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. You know, that's a problem today. You know, we are not to be unequally yoked. Never is a lost person to marry a saved person. A lost person is one that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, to a lot of people, a lost person is one that doesn't go to church. A saved person is someone that goes to church. Now, that's not true. You can go to church all of your life. You can go to any church in this country, any church in this world, and sit in that pew and never miss a service and listen to the preacher and sing the songs and do everything that's a part of that service and still be dead, spiritually dead, separated from God. Because the only way that you can come to God the Father is through and by the Son, Jesus Christ. You need to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must do that today. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot come any other way. You cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ. You will never be a Christian, which is Christ-like. You'll never be a Christian until you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, right here, we have a situation where the brothers say, if you're circumcised, then we'll join you. Now, they, again, back in the day of Abraham received that command. Circumcision is for the purpose of separation, to separate the people of Israel, which, remember, God has already changed Jacob's name to Israel. And so it is to separate that family, that people, from the world. It's God's chosen people, and this was an identification, circumcision. That was an identifying. But you see, in Jacob's son's mind, This seems to be something that makes you a Christian. Okay, if you are circumcised, but in this will we consent unto you. Verse 15. If ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughter unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and give, and will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Now, let's see. Who's saying that? That's not Hamor. That's not Shechem. Let's look again here to see, is this the sons of Jacob saying this? The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, this is verse 13, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. That is the sons of Jacob saying that. It all hinges upon the willingness of the people of the Hivites to follow this command, which was never given to anyone except to Israel. Now, to be a proselyte, which is something that comes later, is one that does come to the God of Israel. And at that time, and for many years, they did need to follow the laws of the God of Israel. And part of those were circumcision. But that's a small part of it. And I think the boys here missed that. It's kind of like today. Do you believe that once you have come to a church, joined a church, been baptized at that church perhaps, that makes you a Christian? Because if you believe that, you're among millions of people. Because millions of people believe that. But millions of people are mistaken. Because the only way that you can become a child of God and become a member of the church, not this church, not any individual building church, but the church that God has ordained, the church that God has set into place, the universal church, the only way that you can become a member of that church, be a member of the kingdom of God, is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship, a personal relationship. That's the difference. But today, we have taken on the same mindset that was started back here some 1,800 years before Jesus Christ was born. 3,800 years ago, they were already deciding, if you be circumcised, fine, then we'll be one. We'll be together. No. Jacob should have said, if you will serve my God. Even then, God knew it was never going to work. But if Jacob would have said, you have to serve my God. Nothing was mentioned there. It's strictly circumcision. It's an action. And see, it's the same way today. Join the church. Be baptized. Take communion. Take the Lord's Supper. All those things are actions that maybe you believe makes a difference to whether you are a child of God or not. It does not. It is all things that you will do, but after you become a child of God. And you become a child of God, you become a member of the kingdom of God, if you come by faith, when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please, you look at the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have listened to this program today, and you have sat back, and you are attending a church faithfully, working hard in that church, but you have never come to the point that you have recognized that I am a sinner, and recognize that you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now. If you are hearing that calling, please come today. Call upon Him today. ask him to come into your heart and save you. I know right where I did that. It was halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house. It was no place and it was no church. Nobody else was there. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, continued to convict my heart till I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I have been saved ever since, and that was in 1975. So you can add the years. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?